Okay, let's everybody start taking their places. Can you give this to Pete down here, please? If everybody can start taking their places. Okay, my name is Joanne Wilson, and I would like to welcome all of you to our Back to Basics seminar. All of you are here because you want to build our membership. The theme of this seminar is on your agenda. It says, if it weren't for the rocks in its bed, the stream would have no song. In your goodie bag, in your purple affiliate building purple goodie bag, there is a little purple box with a silver bow on top. And in that box, if you feel in there, there is a smooth river rock. And you're wondering, have these people flipped out? Why are they giving us a smooth river rock? I want you to think about our theme. If it weren't for the rocks in its bed, the stream would have no song. If it wasn't for all of you doing the day-to-day things that you do at the local level, there would be no National Federation of the Blind. Jessica Bachicha is going to read you a short poem, which I believe expresses the theme of all your work.
Drop a pebble in the water. Just a splash, and it is gone. But there's 100 ripples circling on and on and on. Spreading, spreading from the center, flowing on out to the sea. And there is no way of telling where the end is going to be. Drop a pebble in the water. In a minute, you forget. But there's little waves of flowing, and there's ripples circling yet. And those little waves of flowing to a great big wave have grown. You've disturbed a mighty river just by dropping in a stone. Drop an unkind word or careless. In a minute it is gone. But there's 100 ripples circling on and on and on. They keep spreading, spreading, spreading from the center as they go. And there is no way to stop them once you've started them to flow. Drop a word of cheer and kindness. In a minute you forget. But there's gladness still a swelling, and there's joy a circling yet. And you've rolled a wave of comfort whose sweet music can be heard over miles and miles of water just by dropping one kind word.
Thank you, Jessica. Okay. So we want each of you to take your smooth river rock back home with you to your local chapters and to your state affiliates. And we want for you to use it in your chapters to remind people how valuable they are. How that if it was not for their work and what they did, there would be no local chapter, no state affiliate, and no great cathedral, the National Federation of the Blind. We want you to start thinking of this rock when you're back at home with it, that when you do something for the National Federation of the Blind, whether it's stuffing an envelope, whether it's making a phone call, it's talking to a member, going down to your state legislature, selling a candy bar, whatever it is, you're making a ripple in the stream that will double and multiply the work of the National Federation of the Blind and spread our message around this country. We now are pleased to have Dr. Mark Maurer with us, our national president. And Dr. Maurer is here to talk to all of you about our important work and to make a very special presentation to our honored guests today, our chapter presidents.
Well, thank you, Joanne. I appreciate your inviting me to be at this membership building seminar. I noticed that the title for the first hour is Building Our Cathedral One Rock at a Time. I noticed that listed in this part of the agenda you've got, besides me, Fred Schroeder, Anil Lewis, Terry Rupp, and Ron Gardner. And I suppose it's inevitable that you come to the conclusion that this group of people is just a bunch of rocks. So, Fred's here on my right, he's a rock. Anil is on my left, and he's a rock. And I hope they don't grind together because I'm in the middle. There are so many stories about the nature of leadership and how leaders manage to lead despite the opposition, and how it is that one person can change an entire situation. The story is told of a platoon that was pinned down at Omaha Beach, and one of the fellows in the platoon decided after a while, I might as well die going up there as be shot down here on the beach. And he jumped up and told his buddies to come on, and they went and took of the machine gun nest that was tying them down. And it changed the nature of their sector of the beach. As I say, there are hundreds of stories like this. One human being can make the difference. And I notice that we're talking about how to run a chapter meeting here. And I have lots and lots of thoughts about that. One of them is, put so much stuff into it that you can't possibly get it done. Make sure there's plenty of content, and then after a while, people will be glad that you did it. And get lots of other people involved. If you try to make it a one human being program, after a while they'll, unless you're very, very entertaining, go somewhere else. There should be some entertainment value. You'll notice that the agenda of the National Federation of the Blind Convention is so full that the likelihood is we can't get it all in. Tomorrow I have some presentations to make, and on Wednesday I do. And some of the other people up here, Anil Lewis does, and Fred Schroeder does. Part of what they have to do is make you sit up and take notice, make it interesting enough that you don't want to go buy a cup of coffee or go to sleep. And some of you will have been up late the night before, so sleep will be tempting when the fellows from government agencies come along. You know, it's always a good idea to get a little rest, because the interesting stuff's coming later. You know this as well as I do. In other words, make them sit up and take notice. Are you paying attention?
Yes.
You can change your voice, you see, and that does some. Startle them now and then. And recognize something else. There's no forest without a leaf. So many people have said this in many different ways. The theme here is no cathedral without a rock. That story is the one in which somebody came along and said, "What are you doing?" And there were three people working, doing the same kind of work, and one of them said, "I'm laying brick," and one of them said, "I'm building a wall," and one of them said, "I'm building a cathedral." I don't know about you, but I like cathedrals best, so I build them. Rock now seems uninteresting. And yet, we built at the National Center for the Blind at our property in Baltimore a new building. We opened it in 2004. It took us 3 years to get it built. It took us two more years to raise the money to get started. And we still raised some money on it this year. So we started in 1999 with the thought, and in 2009 we're putting a little money left into it, and we're still working on it. And as we were building it, I sat with the architects and the contractors every week to find out what was going on and to give them my thought about what we ought to do, because there were lots of questions. And they said, "We're going to have a large entrance area. What is the covering that we're going to put on it?" And they said, "We've got a plan to make it out of wood. It's a nice wood. You can go look at it." And we went and looked at some, and some of it looked all right, and some of it didn't look too good. I kept wondering what we're going to do. And I said to them, "What about marble?" And they said, "Well, it's pretty expensive. And besides, we've got a plan, and it would take some extra reinforcement. And we've got to plan to do this out of wood." And I said the next time, "How about marble?" It took me 3 months. And finally they said, "Well, yeah, I guess we could do marble." And if you go look at it now, it is a beautiful building, and our front entrance is covered with marble. Why marble? Well, because the people who build important things build it out of marble. It looks great. And our building is great. It represents something that we're building that is so important that we can't forget it, and we can't ever forget that other people worry about it. Have you ever negotiated a contract on behalf of a blindness organization? I've negotiated hundreds of them. And when you go talk to people, you say, "Yeah, I'm from the National Federation of the Blind." They think, "Yeah, blindness outfit, little welfare group somewhere, probably doing a little business out of a rental office, second story or third story in a second-rate building." So when I want to negotiate with them, what do? I invite them to the National Center for the Blind, our building, the National Federation of the Blind, Jernigan Institute. I get them to come to my office. Why? My office is bigger than theirs. That's true for almost anybody I've ever met. I have a big, beautiful office. We built it for the president of the National Federation of the Blind. Why? Because I want them to know we're important. And they have to walk through the marble to get there. They walk in and they think, "Wow, I didn't know." And the negotiations change. Sometimes I scare people to death. This doesn't bother me. Might bother them, but that's not my problem. Rock, man. Rock is important. Matter of fact, at this convention, Jesse Hartle, Mary Jo Thorpe are celebrating because a couple of weeks ago they stood in front of a lot of people and declared themselves to be married to one another. One of the things that happened before that time was that there was a rock involved. That rock indicates permanence and beauty. A diamond. It's just a rock. But its symbolism is much more important than the stone. And tonight, the symbolism that we have is much more important than the stone, though the stone has its value. You, as a chapter president, can make an enormous difference in the lives of human beings that count on you to have the understanding and the wisdom to do it. Now I have a thing here that is not quite as hard as rock. It's made out of glass. And because your part in the Federation is so important, because without the leaf there could not be a forest, and without the branches and the trunks and so on, there wouldn't be anything to hold the leaves together. Because you are a rock in our Federation Cathedral, I have here a glass mug which has etched into the glass the braille that says, "Thank you." Each chapter president gets one. We in the Federation, thank you. I, as our president, thank you. You have Fred Schroeder's here to my right. I know he's a state president, but I'll bet he was a chapter president before that, so here, Fred, is your mug. Thank you very much.
Okay, the mugs are now being passed out, and while we're doing that, Joe Ruffalo, do you have a door prize? Okay, now we're going to have several sets of door prizes. We're having those for everybody in the room, and then we've got some special ones for chapter presidents. Joe? Oh no, we want everybody here, and we've got stuff for you guys too.
All right, this is for chapter presidents only. This is your chance to shine.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing, we will
rock you. Let's hear it out there.
A big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place. We will rock you. Sing it now. We will rock you. Buddy, you're an old man, poor man, pleading with your eyes, gonna make you zombie someday. You got mud on your face, big disgrace. Somebody better put your bag into your place.
We will rock you, don't won't we, right? You got it. Okay, you're going to get a gift certificate, and every chapter president, in addition to your gift certificate, you're going to get earplugs, because at every chapter meeting, you need earplugs.
Okay.
You know, every chapter president is a magician. Every chapter president is a magician. They walk down the street and they turn into a bar.
Okay, moving right along. Our next speaker, if we could have your attention again, is our first vice president of the National Federation of Blind and president of our Virginia affiliate, Fred Schroeder.
Good evening, everybody. It's a real pleasure to be here with all of you. We're going to talk about building membership. Now, how do you build membership? First thing that I would ask you to think about is, why are you a member? How did you become a member? Most of us became members because somebody we knew asked us to join. I don't know about you, but when I went blind, I didn't really think very highly of blindness or blind people. And if somebody had come to me and said, boy, all these blind people are going to get together, I'd have thought, well, more power to them, but why in the world would I want to be there? But what happened to me is shortly after I lost all my vision, I met a young guy. He was about my age. I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area. And what this young guy did is he befriended me. We became friends. And some of you know the story about Jim Fox. First day I met him, he invited me to go bowling with him that evening. Didn't talk to me about blindness per se. Didn't talk to me about the National Federation of the Blind. But what he did is he showed me that he was living an ordinary life when I wasn't. He was doing the things that he wanted to do, that he found interesting. And I was sitting around feeling very constricted as a blind person. Over time, after going to ball games and doing all sorts of things, one time he took me down to downtown Berkeley, said there was a coffee shop he had heard about, and we jumped on the bus, and I said, where is it? He said, well, it's on Telegraph Avenue. Well, that probably is 10-mile-long road. And I thought, that's a bit sketchy as far as I could tell. But we got down into Berkeley and found this place. He was doing the things that he wanted to do. And he was my friend. He invited me to a chapter meeting. This would have been the Oakland chapter. It was my first chapter meeting. We met on a Saturday. And I got in there and we were listening, and one of the things that was being talked about was a candy sale. The affiliate was selling Almond Roca candy, and we got the candy for 75 cents a can. And the question was, do we sell it for a buck and a half or a buck and a quarter? Now, if you sell it for a buck and a half, you make more money on each can. But if you sell it for a buck and a quarter, it might be easier to sell. And so in the long run, you might sell more candy. So the conversation went like that. And then somebody said, well, you know, in San Francisco across the bay, they're selling it for a buck and a quarter. And if we sell it for a dollar and a half, people are going to see that. And they're going to think that we're defrauding them. And so we can't do it for a dollar and a half. And it went on like this. And after a while, people's tempers started to get involved. And I was kind of sitting there peacefully listening to all this. And finally, the vice president got up. And she said, since one of the leading causes of blindness is diabetes, it is immoral to sell candy. And she resigned and walked out of the meeting. Now, some of you are sitting there saying, I didn't know he'd been to our chapter. Okay, and so that was my first chapter meeting. And you might think, well, why in the world would he ever go back? Well, the reason I went in the first place was because my friend Jim asked me to go. And he was a guy I respected and looked up to. And if he thought this was a good thing, it was a good thing. It didn't really strike me as odd. Well, I guess because I didn't really know what in the world to expect. And at the end of the meeting, I am not making this up, Jim volunteered to be candy chairman. And for weeks thereafter, I was the Sherpa. We'd go out to the local shopping center and I'd tote all these cases of Almond Roca candy. And I can tell you, we sold candy till the cows came home. And so I started getting involved. I became a part of the Federation. I became a part of the Federation because another blind person cared about me and befriended me. And as we think about building our organization, I think that the first thing we do is we find blind people. We find blind people in our community and we befriend them. We figure out what it is that we can do to be of encouragement, and then we bring them into the organization and show them that not only are we there to encourage them, but that they also have the power to change the lives of other blind people. Building membership is something we need to do. Why? Because it makes us more effective. It makes us stronger as an organization. But there's another reason we need to do it. Because of the dignity and the opportunity that you've had and that I've had, other blind people deserve that same opportunity, and it's our responsibility to share it with them. to bring them into the organization long before they realize that they need this organization. That's what it's about, building membership one person at a time. And if anybody wants to buy any candy, you find me this week. I guarantee you I can sell you some candy. Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you, Fred. Do we have a door prize there?
Yes, we do. We have a wonderful door prize. Yeah.
We've got a $10 gift certificate for McDonald's. And there's something else underneath here. It's a surprise. And it's going to be still a surprise because there's no label on it.
Okay, now this door prize has got to go to the person who can answer this question. Very important question now. What do you call horses who run during the night? Oh, it's a joke. Okay, I blew that one. Okay. I'm going back to New Jersey. We had a lot of people say, see, you could fight over the door prize.
That was
one of the jokes. All right, yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm going to do another joke here while Jessica and Joe get together another door prize.
Well,
okay, so what do you call a, what do you get when you cross an elephant and a fish? Swim trunks.
Hey, good stuff.
Okay. Now, we can call another speaker. Okay, why don't we go ahead, while you guys get your... Door prize. Get our act together. Okay, this happens in local chapter meetings. You know, we'll just move right on. Okay, our next speaker is Mr. Anil Lewis. Anil is on our national board and is also president of the NFB of Georgia, and he's going to tell us more about membership building.
We'll do that as a chapter one.
Rosie already demonstrated the quality that you're going to need for chapter building. That's guts. She took guts to tell that joke, Rosie. When I get on the agenda and I'm following Dr. Maurer and Dr. Schroeder, I prepare my speech this way. Ditto. Thank you. Thank you very much. The thing I'd like to offer, you're right, I could sit down, but I do want to talk because I get the opportunity so, you know, infrequently. The thing I'd like to offer when we're talking about chapter building is the whole, you know, scenario of cast your net far and wide, approach as many people as you can, that kind of thing. But what really works for me is in trying to help people build chapters and finding members is you start with yourself as an individual. And when I say that, I mean, don't get to the point where all of this is so personal to you that you prevent yourself from casting that net far and wide. So many of you who've seen other chapters know that as the head goes, the body follows. In Georgia, we have several chapters in a very small geographic area. But because each and every chapter president has its own dynamic, that chapter has its own dynamic. So don't get so territorial in the thinking that there's not enough room for all of us to participate, because there's plenty of blind folk around, plenty of stuff for all of us to do in order to help people, as our mission says. The other thing I say is focus on your attitude as an individual. When I got active in the organization, one of the first things I did that was very smart is I got a proper attitude about what I wanted to join the organization for. Of course, it wasn't to get rich. You all know that. It wasn't to become famous, because that's not the real key. But I really, in my core, developed an attitude of wanting to make a difference. And then the first thing you have to do once you recognize that is you find other people around you that have that same mentality. Because as you work to try to grow this organization, the most important asset you'll have is your inner circle, that core, the people that you go to keep you motivated when I don't want to go to another chapter meeting. I don't want to deal with another headache from another chapter member. Because if you have the inability to replenish yourself so that you can come in with a fresh perspective and a new attitude, then you're not going to be able to grow. Because believe it or not, everybody in my affiliate doesn't like me. They don't like me, but they love me with respect to my passion about what I'm trying to do. As long as they see that Anil is out there trying to make a difference in the lives of blind kids by getting Braille instruction in their schools, as long as Anil is out there trying to make sure that there's employment opportunities for blind adults, that rehab is doing the right thing by blind consumers, then they don't have to like me as long as they like what I'm doing. Because I don't want them to come live with me. I want them to come work with me. And if you do that, if you develop that attitude, you'd be surprised at how many people you formerly would not have thought would be part of your inner circle or circle period have come into your circle. And I think that we, as loyal members of this federation, have to understand that the biggest asset we have is our passion and commitment about making a difference in the lives of blind people. And we can't be selfish with that asset. We have to share it as far and as wide as we can. So in order to help Rosie stop stressing out about the time constraints based on the agenda, I'm going to close one more time by saying, cast your net wide and cast it frequently. And listen to those words that have been said before me and those after. And believe me, it will grow and it will flourish into something that's wonderful and beautiful and positive, and it will continue to change what it means to be blind. Thank you guys for your time and attention.
Thank you, Anil. Moving right along, we now have Terry Rupp, who is probably one of our newest state presidents and definitely our youngest state president. She's state president of the National Federation of the Blind of Nevada. And she is building membership in a unique way right now, and I'll let her tell you a little about that. Terry?
Well, yeah. Dr. Matt. Oh, is this that one?
Oh, it's not working. Okay. Glory, glory, Federation.
Joanne and Dr. Maurer like to tease me and tell me that I'm building my my federation in my own way by producing my own federationists. When Rosie asked me to speak on this panel, and she told me I was going to speak on first lines. What are first lines? When you first meet somebody, your first impression is the one thing that sticks in their minds the most. Joe Ruffalo over here, or Rosie, was trying to tell jokes. So a duck, a rabbi, and a priest walk into a bar. A blonde, a brunette, and a redhead. Now those are just first lines of jokes. How about first lines when you're in a bar trying to pick somebody up? Hey, what's your sign?
Gemini, baby.
Thanks, I'm an Aries. So for a couple of minutes, I'd like everybody to turn to your left and turn to your right and introduce themselves to their neighbor and give them a little, you know, say a little bit of a first line to their neighbor. About the Federation. About the Federation.
You have a lovely singing voice. One day, you know, when I go back to National Center in November, I have to make the comment.
Yes,
have
especially when you're talking.
I will do my best. I'll do my best. Gemini.
Okay, now that you guys have now that everybody has pitched their first line, I'd like everyone to describe their, I'd like a few people to describe their first line about the Federation. Is there anyone who'd like to stand up and volunteer? Anyone? Just go ahead and stand up and volunteer. You can say your name.
Turn around, they can't hear you.
Why don't you stand up and face the audience?
Turn around.
Stand up and be counted.
Blind person or a sighted person, somebody you meet in a classroom, somebody you meet at the grocery store, you can use these.
Bite the mic. Yep.
Whether this person may be a blind person or a sighted person or someone you meet in the classroom or the grocery store, all of these first lines can be used on any of these people. Can we have one more chapter president stand up and give us a few of their first lines?
Yeah, I joined back in 1982. Probably don't really need this microphone, but anyway. What I usually tell people is that if I meet somebody that's new blind, I'll ask them, have you ever heard of the NFB? Or our chapter meeting is on the third Saturday of the month. If you'd like to come to it, feel free to, and give you some information about it a little bit there. And, you know, what is a blind person? And or who is a blind person, rather? What is the NFB? And just kind of pass it around like that to them. And make them feel, you know, like they want to go instead of like they have to go is the best way to do it. If they don't feel like they're being pressured, they'll come more quicker.
Thank you. I've often heard complaints from chapter presidents, fellow chapter members, I just don't have the time, or I'm not a joiner. I'm in the Federation. I believe in the Federation philosophy. But I just don't have time to go to the chapter meeting. If this is a problem, you yourself can make this less of a problem by making the chapter a little fun, like the way we just started off with a joke. I think I'm going to run out of time pretty soon, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. My first line, if I were to walk and run into somebody in their line, let's say for say Starbucks, and somebody asked me about my cane, I would say, hey, my name's Terry, and I'm on my way to the National Federation of the Blind chapter meeting. I have been a member of the National Federation of the Blind, and I love working with blind people. I love changing the perception of blindness, and if you wanted to come join me, you know, grab a cup of coffee and let's walk over there together. I'd like to bring them, bring a personal touch and bring that person with me. It's a little more comforting. Having somebody go to a chapter meeting with you instead of going there alone. So, thank you very much, Joanne.
Thank you, Terry. Ron Gardner, are you up here? We're now going to hear from one of our more veteran state presidents, Ron Gardner, who's the state president of the National Federation of Blind of Utah.
One time, can you hear me? One time, a long, long time ago, on July 5, 2009, in the city of Detroit, Michigan, Dr. Maurer planned a convention. He asked Joanne Wilson to help him. He asked Rosie to help him. They got together a lot of tools. They planned a hotel. They contacted a hotel. They got a lot of tools, a lot of brochures. They got a place to hold an exhibit hall. And you know what? Nobody came. Nobody came. Well, we've heard Dr. Maurer, now keep that in mind, we've heard Dr. Maurer talking about building a cathedral, and he talked about the people that were doing it, and he talked about tools. Now today, Joanne Wilson did something. She mentored us all. She wanted to fill this room. She wanted to fill this room with chapter presidents and with other people to come and learn about building chapters and building the Federation. And she gave us some tools, but the tools alone were not enough. We had to have people. Dr. Maurer needs people in order to have a convention. Joanne Wilson needs to have people in order to have this meeting. So what she did was got Rosie Carranza busy on it. And what Rosie Carranza did was ask about 4,000 people to show up and help put this meeting together. And once all those people came to help put the meeting together, the room started getting full. It started getting full with the people that were asked to come and help.
All right, well, good.
So Joanne Wilson has asked me to talk about the jobs that we can get people to do. I truly believe that there are three things that every Federationist needs. I think we need the philosophy and need to learn about it. I believe that we need each of us to have a friend that will depend on us to be there. But something else is needed for every Federationist, and I think it's a job. I truly have learned the blessing of a job. Now, I'm not talking about the job that pays 10 bucks an hour. This pays much more than that. I'm talking about the job that gets a person to come and participate actively in the Federation. What kind of jobs are there? I mean, we've all heard about the preacher that wanted the little old lady to come, so he asked her every Sunday to pass out the hymn books. Now, could they have had church service without her passing out the hymn books? Oh, yeah. But it got her there every Sunday morning to pass out the hymn books. How many of us as chapter presidents wish we had somebody to do the little things that need to be done in order to have a successful chapter meeting? And yet, yeah, there are lots of things to do, but you know what generally happens? It takes time to call up and ask somebody. Well, if you ask them, they might say no, and then you'd feel bad, and they'd feel bad, and so it's easier just not to ask them and do it yourself. You know, you do so many things yourself, and pretty soon you're tired and fatigued, and pretty soon it's not fun. There is magic that happens when you ask somebody else to do something to help the Federation grow. You're benefited as chapter presidents, and they're benefited because they are valued. And the job that you want it done actually gets done. So what kind of jobs are there? I think there are several types of jobs. Now, in your bag today, you were given a tool, and it has a little CD in there, and on that CD, there's a document that lists a whole bunch of jobs. You can either go home and put this on the stack of CDs that'll never get looked at, or you can actually use the tool to cut the stone, to smooth it out, and to build the cathedral. This is a tool. Use the tool. It's a list of jobs. I think there are several kinds of jobs. And every chapter and every affiliate will run better with these jobs filled with people. There are jobs that are built around an event. You can call these event jobs, okay? What kinds of events? A Meet the Blind Month event. You need somebody who will actually go down and contact the location where you're going to have the event. You need somebody to actually get the word out and make the announcement. You need somebody who will do another task for that event. You need somebody who will provide for transportation or arrange for transportation or arrange with whatever needs to happen. You can come up with so many jobs that you'll have to do if you don't assign them to somebody else just to have an event. So those are jobs that you can come up with on a one-time or two-time basis because you are planning an event. Don't do it all yourself. Plan those events around getting other people to help you facilitate and actually effectuate the event. Another kind of job that I find has been really, really helpful is the jobs around committees. So many times we overlook the value of committees in our affiliates and in our chapters. What kinds of committees? Well, you can have a committee to deal with literature. You can have a committee to deal with library information from our Independence Market. You can have a committee to deal with scholarships, a scholarship committee. How many times at the last minute does the president run over there and say, hey, will you two guys help with this or that? Form a committee. The committee by its very nature has to have a chairman. Okay, a chair, chairman, chairwoman. But that chairman is not going to be a chair over much unless there are members on that committee. Get a committee assigned to help you with the various things that are ongoing that you have to do. Get a committee to help you plan better chapter meetings. Get a committee to help you plan the agenda for the state convention. Get a committee to help you review the scholarship applications that come in. Committee assignments are assignments that can be given to people. They feel valued, and it's work that actually will help you do the Federation building. Of course, every chapter has a board. Those are jobs. You know, sometimes we elect people to jobs, and the next time we even think about it is the next time they're up for election. Well, unless they happen to be the president or maybe the secretary, once in a while the treasurer has to give a report. But you know, fill your boards with people and ask them to do things. Value them. Give them the experience that they need that they'll benefit from as they learn, and start filling behind you as president. Start filling your boards with people that would be capable presidents to take your place when you're finished. So we have ad hoc, we have event plans and events that need to be planned and take place and facilitated. We have division boards, we have committees, we have chapter boards, we have affiliate boards. I will tell you one of the most valuable things that I've done as president of my affiliate. I have a telephone that rings in my home, and there's an answering machine on that telephone. And that phone rings anytime, day or night, with somebody that has a question about blindness. It could be a college student, it could be an older man, it could be a mom who's panicked because she just learned her daughter, three months old, is blind. There's somebody that wants to know something about Federation. Am I, as the president, the only one that can answer those questions? Absolutely not. So I gained about 4 or 5 hours a week by asking somebody else to take the messages off the answering machine and return those calls. I tell you, it was liberating. That person that agreed to do that is now an elected chapter member. That guy came home from the membership building seminar that Joanne and Rosie and Jason and Jessica put on in Baltimore. He came home and got so excited about building that he came home, he got himself elected chapter president of a chapter where there were 7 people in attendance. The next month, after spending time and doing what he had been assigned to do, he had 34 people at that same chapter meeting. Assign people jobs and let them do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron. Now, before we end this hour, I want to tell you about your goodie bags, okay? Now, these goodie bags are full of very useful chapter building tools, okay? Now, in there, of course, is your gift of your river rock, okay, to remind you of all our work that we do. Also in there, in case you get a little hungry, here are some M&Ms, which remind us of members and more members, or money and more money. Okay, you can use the M&Ms in your chapter meeting to kind of remind people of some of our goals for that month. Okay, also in there are some very, very valuable CDs. Now, one of the CDs is hot off the press. Okay, it's the one that's labeled Literature in Braille on the outside. Okay, and it's called Messages of the Movement. And what this is a small compilation of some of our most popular speeches or most popular literature in the NFB. Lots of times people look at all our literature lists and they get overwhelmed. They think, where do I even begin reading all this stuff? So we took some of the most popular speeches, a few of them from Dr. Tenbrook, from Dr. Jernigan, from Dr. Maurer, from Fred Schroeder. We took a few pieces, two or three items for parents of blind kids, a few items for students, a few items for youth. And we put our brochures on there, our basic brochures. And so it's a small compilation that'll give people an introduction to our literature so that they kind of know where to begin. It's written, it's on that CD in MP3 and in text. So they can get, read it off the computer or put on MP3. So it's a recorded and text version. Now, you guys are an experiment. You're the first people to get this CD. If you like it or you want some additions, corrections, something different with this kind of thing, let us know. Because it's kind of replacing a lot of the print literature, the old cassettes, that people don't even know what a cassette player is anymore. And so we're trying to put forth this stuff in a different way. And it's a great thing to hand to a new potential member to get them to begin reading. So look at that CD, and we want some feedback from you. There's also a CD that just has music on it. Now, we're having a little technical difficulties. I'm trying to get the music going, but I think we're going to be playing during the rest of the evening some music selections. There's nothing more than live little music kind of livens up a meeting and starts it gets a theme going and gets energy going, like you experienced earlier this evening. So there's a whole CD on there with some lively tunes that you could actually use during your chapter meetings, okay? Another CD on there is a compilation of just some very useful things, like some door prize ideas and how to do door prizes in a more novel way, some trivia questions, some jokes, some ideas of jobs you can give people, lots of little useful, very practical things you could use in your chapters. That's one of the other CDs, okay? There's two older CDs in there, but have a lot of real basic information on them. One is a book written by Ramona Walhoff that's kind of a guide for NFB leaders, okay? Lots and lots of useful information. And the other one that's been around for about 3 or 4 years now is called Our TOPS Manual, Training and Organizing People to Serve. And again, it has very short little, lots and lots of little information on there that gives you ideas on how to write press releases, how to deal with legislators, all kinds of stuff. I get constitutions. I mean, just anything you need to know for chapter. Just look at the table of contents on both the Ramona CD and the top CD and see if there's things there that you need and are useful to you. The sixth CD is Meet the Blind Month ideas, okay? So if you need specific projects, that's the sixth CD that you have there. So we hope that you really like this. It's got lots and lots of useful ideas and lots of information. So don't just take these and throw them in a pile. Go home and look through them and pick out some things that'll make your life a lot easier. Okay, now this finishes the first segment.